Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
You know, obviously there is a natural thing of like, we need to keep the game going and so on. But the first thing is like, provide the bloody games. Provide the opportunity for kids to play.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello and welcome to a third year of the LOI Pod here on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle back with you again, and as ever, joined by the two best pundits in the game, Gareth McLean and Vinnie Perth. Lads, brilliant to have you back, and also like at the start of what's going to be an amazing League of Ireland season, but the best place to get it all, of course, as ever, is on Off the Ball, because we'll have so much discussion about the league right across the station. Of course, on Saturday afternoon in the football chat, John Duggan always will cover the League of Ireland with the lads between 3 and 5 on Off the Ball. We'll have the LOI Pod for you every week, and as well, LOI Late Night every Friday. And then on top of that, it's been announced that the League of Ireland and Off the Ball have announced a new 3-year agreement to increase the number of live and exclusive national radio commentary matches up to 33 across the new season. That new agreement will bring enhanced coverage across the league, as I mentioned, on all of our other shows right throughout the week as well and Off the Ball. And as well as that, we'll be broadcasting fixtures from the 2026 Men's and Women's FAI Cups. Just to give you an update as well, because you'll want to know which games we're going to be covering. The second week of the season, we'll have Shelburne against Shamrock Rovers. Jonathan Higgins will be commentating on that one. And then it's myself heading up to Foyleside for Derry City against Bohemians. The following week, Jonathan Higgins will be at Dalymount for Bohemians against Shamrock Rovers, the big, big Dublin derby. And then the week after that, it will be myself at Tallaght Stadium for Shamrock Rovers against Derry City. So, brilliant news. This is where you get the best League of Ireland coverage on Off the Ball. And lads, let's get stuck into it, because our first live game this Friday night, I'll be there myself, Shamrock Rovers against Dundalk. And I have to say, I think this is a great, great season opener, because we've got the champions against the team promoted from the First Division. And a team from the First Division, I think, will be coming up with a lot of hope. Very good young manager at the helm in Kieran Kilduff. But lads, let's look at the champions first, Shamrock Rovers. I think just to start off maybe about Rovers, let's have a look at the President's Cup quickly. We won't dwell on it too long. Gareth McLean, you would have been watching closely as a Derry City man. I kind of looked at their starting team and it came out and I was going, oh my God, this team looks absolutely incredible. I think they could batter Shamrock Rovers. And I think Stephen Brady might be coming away from that game thinking a 1-0 defeat in a pre-season warm-up. I think he'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, and I think that's the way he treated it. He treated it as a pre-season friendly to get some minutes and some legs. I mean, I think they were only in 3.5 weeks before that. So I think coming away from the President's Cup, we learned a lot more about Derry City than we did Shamrock Rovers. A lot of young players playing, a lot of players getting minutes. Obviously, Jack Byrne back as well. I thought it was a good game. I did think that Derry just edged it. But a couple of really pluses. I thought McGovern was excellent for Shamrock Rovers, the little he had done. I think this could be a big season for him. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Noonan, so he might play a lot more than he expects. Mulroney obviously getting minutes in his new club as well. Jack Byrne looks fit and very, very fit. I don't know what he was doing in the off season, but he looks to be a real positive. And then defenders wise, I don't know what's happening with Lee Grace, boys. Is he injured or
no? As far as I know, well, we did the launch last week, and he didn't mention anything. So I'm not too sure, Vinny, if you've heard much else in that situation.
No, I think Lee has been in now, hasn't he, with different sort of injuries, and they've minded him a little bit. And I think to be fair, Rovers keep a lot of our stuff in-house, so you're not going to know for a couple of weeks. Big test is Friday night, if he's involved or not. And I think in many ways, Steve-O, I think that's the story of Rovers, isn't it, in terms of when I look at Shamrock Rovers on paper, I think McGinty outstanding. The back three is heading towards legendary status in terms of Cleary, Lopez and Grace. The midfield four, as good as you get, Healy, say Dylan Watts, Jack Bourne, Graham Bourke. So they have it all. But then there's a niggling thing going, have they really improved in terms of, like, people will look at Andy Stevens and go, great signing. It is potentially good signing, lots of cover here, there, and everywhere. But I think this current Rover squad is the best one they have. It's probably deeper than they've had before. But when event happens to the back three, one or two, we know Lopez is going to go away. I'm not sure they scared the living daylights out of everyone else in the league the way they used to. Now, that doesn't mean they won't win the league before I go down to Talent on Friday. That doesn't mean they won't win the league. The challenge is, have all the other teams, have any of them done enough to overtake them?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's why I asked about Lee Grace. I think he is the most important person in Shamrock Rovers this season. Pico's going away for the World Cup. If Lee Grace were to get injured or be out for a long term, the rest of them are good players, but they're not at the level of Pico and Lee Grace. Them two players have been the best defenders in this league for the last 10 years. Consistency wise, then you look at midfield, look at the amount of players, listen to the players that are out and what type of player. Sean Kavanagh, Aaron McAniff, Nugent and Gary O'Neill. There's a lot of like kind of resilience that's left the team. Mally's come in, I think he's hot and cold. I know Bradley likes him and has played him a lot in Europe, but there's not a lot of steel outside Healy. I know Sullivan's come in as well, but I think they've lost a wee bit in centre in the middle of the park. I think everyone else is strong as long as Lee Grace stays fit.
And just to even go on again about when Rovers get their very best team that I just mentioned on, and say even Jake Mullaney coming off the bench some night, whoever starts up front for them, whether it's Noonan, Gaffney, McGovern, who's starting to look okay, Danny Grant's obviously done really well for them. When everybody for Rovers is playing really well in their starting 11, better than everybody else by far. That's not what the question is. The question is, because we've seen a lot of injuries in that club over the last 2 years, are they good enough to go all the way?
Yeah, well, look at the Lopez situation, because if you even look back at the end of last season, when they were in that, I suppose, run to just seal the Premier Division title, and it seemed to go on forever and ever. They needed that one point just to seal the deal. You know, Lopez went away for international duty for a couple of matches. They lost the Shells, they lost the Pats without him. The start of the season when they didn't win the title when Shelburne won the title, start of 2024, I got the results here. Lopez was missing for those opening two games against Dundalk and Shells. They drew at Dundalk, lost the Shells. Like, key results. So there's a good chance he's going to be out for, you know, probably 6 weeks, maybe 4 to 6 weeks in and around the World Cup. They got games in that period against Shells and Derry City. So, like, could this be make or break for Shamrock Rovers season with Lopez being out? Could it make the difference between them being champions or not at the end of the season?
I'm surprised they haven't strengthened, honestly, and that's why Lee Grace staying fit's a big thing. Yes, you've got Stevens coming in, and I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any Stevens.
Sorry, Gareth, to cut across here. The talk is that Stevens has been training as the left of the centre-backs. So you might envision Lee Grace coming in to play the Lopez role, or you maybe could have Stevens. Could Stevens anchor that back three with Corey O'Sullivan to his left or Grace?
The point about Stevens is he's an exceptional player. He's had an outstanding career in the UK. So many of these guys come back and do okay. Like, probably the difference between him and McLean, we'll go on to maybe Derry later on, is James has running power, fitness levels are huge. I'm not sure end it. When I think of Shamrock Rovers at their very, very best, it's Dylan Watts absolutely flying, Borky, as I said, and Bourne. But it's also McAniff coming on. Towell running from midfield, Ronan Finn at his best, Ferrugia at their best. They scared teams. They really did scare teams. It was possession, don't get me wrong, it was brilliant possession. But then it was like they had top, top-notch players at the peak of their powers. And as I said, if Rovers' best 11 or 13 they have at the peak of their powers for 30-odd games this season, they comfortably win the league. But there's a lot of questions over a lot of them players over the last 12, 18 months that makes you wonder, ooh. So would Enda Stevens scare you as a signing 3 and 4 years ago if you were Derry City? Yes. Would he scare you now? Not to the same extent. That's nothing to take away from a fella who's had an unbelievable career in the UK. Particularly, people will think, us Irish people only think you've had a great career if you played in the Premiership. Enda's had an outstanding career at different levels in the UK. Not knocking him 1 second. I'm just saying, none of their signings, I go, wow, that's a real top class. You haven't signed the new McInniff, a new Dylan Watts, a new Graham Bourke, a new Rory Gaffney. They might argue Steve Noonan there. They haven't signed the new Ferrugia. So I'm a little bit hesitant to say they'll run away with it this year like I have for the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay, I take your point, Vinny, and you're maybe kind of looking at a lack of pace in that Shamrock Rovers team. But come back and say, look at Jake Mulroney. Like, Jake Mulroney, as we know, is a superbly talented player. We found out in the closed season that he was going through a lot of personal stuff last year that affected his performances on the pitch, trying to find a new house and some other family issues that he had going on there. When you look at players like, you know, Danny Grant, Andy Lyons, Josh Honan, players like that that went to Rovers, and Stephen Bradley and his coaching staff made them better players. And that the you know, Jake Mulroney even said in his post-match interviews that he felt going into that Rovers training session the first time, he could feel the standards in there, the expectancy from the more experienced players on players coming in. And that might drive him on to becoming a better player and a more consistent player. That's what he lacks, is maybe that consistency. This young guy, Adam Brennan, coming in as well. A lot of people talking about him. Like, he had offers to go over to the UK. And then you've also got the other player's going to mention as well. Adam Brennan was the one I mentioned. Jake Mulroney, who's the other son I'm trying to think of? I'll come back to that now in a second. Sorry, John McGovern. We haven't seen the best of John McGovern yet. He came in the middle of last season. He needed to kind of really assimilate with the squad, and he's going to have a full pre-season with them. So they're three players you're kind of thinking, just, you know, small additions that Stephen Bradley needs to make to his squad that will just take them, you know, another level higher.
Yeah, and so to answer your question is, could Jake Mulroney, I think he's going to be a brilliant signer for Rovers. But Rovers need to be playing at their very best that they were 2 years ago. All them other players I mentioned playing really well. Jake is consistently inconsistent, has been for a number of years. But when he's good, there's probably no one better than him in the league. When he's not so good, outside of maybe Duffy at times, but he has had ups and downs, and we know there's been some personal reasons. We're just presuming all of these guys have gone to Rovers going to get better. And I take your point. Bradley has made a lot of people a lot better, but not just Stephen and his coaching staff. The sum of the whole package that you get. When you go to a club, when you're a good player, if you go into a great dressing room and a great team winning leagues, you become a great player, right? If things aren't going really brilliant, then you more or less stay a good player. And for people, this is a League of Ireland pod, Trossard at Arsenal is a great example of a good footballer, Premiership footballer. He's going to win the league title this year, and he's looked brilliant for Arsenal because he's in a great team. Mm. Great everything.
Well, come here, Danny Grant might be a good League of Ireland example of that, Gareth, would he? Yeah. Because Danny Grant, and listen, he was brilliant over the years, went over to the UK, got really unlucky with a couple of bad injuries, came back to Bohemians, played okay, but then goes to, as Vinny says, goes into a great dressing room like Shamrock Rovers, a league-winning dressing room, and then goes on and wins a title and played some brilliant football last season.
Yeah, I mean, we've given Stephen Bradley huge credit. I said that at the end of last year on the podcast, his greatest asset is to be able to keep all these good players happy. And he's been able to do that and then develop players that other clubs maybe discard or don't see of interest. Danny Grant's a perfect example of that. But last year, even in the cup final, Danny Grant and Josh Honan on the left-hand side was a perfect example. Josh's running power was unbelievable getting Shamrock Rovers up the pitch. incredible. Danny Grant does that on the right-hand side. Trevor Clark hasn't really come. Yeah. I don't know where he is. I just think, to Vinny's point, the legs and getting Rovers up the pitch quickly, there's something lacking. I think McGovern does that, but can he do it from so high up the pitch? And I think Mulroney and Malley, the two players that they've kind of brought in, I'm not sure inconsistency wise. And as Vinny said, they'll either sink or swim within that dressing room, because a highly competitive environment that doesn't take any prisoners when you've won five out of six leagues. So it's really interesting how it all managed together. But again, Stephen Bradley is a master at being able to manage all.
Yeah, just quickly, Vinny, as well, because on Endless Stevens, I want to give him some. Well, look, you know, you're talking there, but
I think the best players. If they get that Jack Bourne stuff.
Sorry, Vinny, I think your signal might have dropped there for a second. Quickly, just to ask you on Enda Stevens, because, you know, you're talking about Enda Stevens' playing ability, but is he maybe the player that Stephen Bradley looks at as when Pico Lopez is gone, he is going to be that player driving the standards? He's a captain international for Ireland. He's a Premier League experienced player. Is that maybe the role that he plays in the Shamrock Rovers team, more so than his playing ability?
Yeah, we can only presume so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Enda knows the league as well. He would have a lot of good mates involved with the league. He'd be close to a few lads. I imagine he's watched a huge amount of it. So I imagine, like, look, it's also an opportunity. Rovers, what Rovers have been very, very good at is giving youth an opportunity. Like, Corey O'Sullivan has done really well over the last sort of year or two. He'll have something to say about that. We don't know where Trevor Clark is. That's another great example of Trevor Clark at his best. Or go back to probably the greatest game, the league. Unfortunately, we lost it. It was a 3-2. People like Trevor Clark around that time was sensational for Rovers. At pace, getting up the wing. So we don't know. But Enda Stevens is just... he's had a wonderful career. As you said, he's been involved at the highest level internationally. He's a brilliant signer for them. He's another... sort of shop steward, gone into your dressing room, won't take any messing, no shit, dig people out when they need to be. So I think that's a brilliant sign. They've made some good signings, absolutely. And maybe if I finish on Rovers, put it this way, if I was involved with Shells, okay, who, let's say, are the tour team involved in it, maybe Pats, we'll talk about that later on, I would... be more fearful of what Derry've done in the front line than I would be of what Shamrock Rovers have done in their signings in the off season. That's the best way to put it. I'd be very fearful of what Derry have done more than what Rovers have done in the off season.
I should say though, as well, with Shamrock Rovers and, you know, talking about their threat, like, you had Graham Burke last season in really good form, scoring 8 goals, 5 assists. Rory Gaffney. The ageing Rory Gaffney just doesn't seem to get any older. Got 9 goals. Like, if you've got players like them, plus young Brennan from UCD, John McGovern chipping in with goals, and crucially, as you mentioned, Gareth, the fitness of Jack Byrne, he's back. He's going to have a point to prove here as well after what happened last season. So if you've got Jack Byrne playmaking for those goal scorers, and if Rovers can, you know, maybe get an average of 9 to 10 goals out of each of those players... like, they went well on the way to winning the title.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, it's a good example. Gaffney and Green, the age of them, how much they play, how many goals they scored. Enda Stevens will be looking at that. And the club will be looking at Enda Stevens going, we're going to have you primed and ready to sit in whenever you're ready, called upon when Pico leaves. But yeah, I mean, you haven't even mentioned Osavuna and even Noonan as well. I mean, there's
sorry, I didn't mention Michael Noonan, yes.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
Stupidly, my mistake.
I'm not messing with you. The front 2, 4, 6, 8 are frightening. They really are frightening. And that's why I'm looking at the centre midfield, the engine behind the midfield and the service of Jack Byrne, Burke, Mandrea obviously will be injured, but when he comes back as well, it's the who's going to be doing all the work? Who's going to be doing the doggy stuff that Gary O'Neill did, Sean Kavanagh come in and out did, Aaron, Darren Nugent did away in Europe quite a lot of the times. Is Healy going to just stand there with his finger in the dam? That's a lot of work with three boys behind you. So that's why the running power of the wing backs are so important to get that right. So you're right, Steve-O. The plethora of riches they have in the forward line, if you're getting 9-10 goals out of each of them, they want to buy a country mile.
Vinny, your old club, Dundalk, Oriel Park going through some renovations. There's a new pitch there, new floodlights. Might come back to that in a second. But Kieran Kilduff, I spoke to him last week at the launch for the League of Ireland up at Whelan's. I've interviewed him as a player in the past. To say he's a manager, you know, he cuts a different character. He's made a really, I suppose, he's had an interesting career path going from Maynooth University, then going on to Athlone Town Women, then takes Dundalk in the First Division, brings them up at the first time of asking. It's been a really, I think, astute career progression from Kieran Kilduff. He didn't just go straight into managing a club in the Irish top flight. I think it's been pretty wise career path. And like when you speak to him, he comes across a kind of, he had this kind of steely confidence, I should say, maybe about him when I spoke to him there last week. Do you think he is a good enough manager despite his inexperience compared to some of the other managers in the top flight? Does he have it within him to keep Dundalk up this season?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's earned stripes over the last number of years, and there's loads of different ways of doing it. There's being an assistant for X amount of time. There's go and do different bits and pieces and hope your opportunity comes. And Kieran has done that. He's managed it quite well, and he's played that game, that manager's merry-go-round game, quite well. And he's in the hot seat, and he takes a team. He's won only 10 Premier Division managers, so he deserves a shot at it. The one thing I will say he's done brilliantly is I think the recruitment there, it's a little bit like the lessons from, say, what Sligo would have done over the last couple of years. When you look at Buckley and Cornwall from Bowes, when you look at Mullen from Derry, adding in Horgan with that, and you've got some youth as well. Kenny is progressing nicely. Centre half Osasuna has done really, really well for him. He's there a number of years. Might be his time to shine. So you've got a lot going on for them. That little bit of experience, Horgan, as I said, Buckley and Cornwall, right in the middle of right down to the centre of their spine, is really, really good. And Conor Cairns in goal. So they've got a real spine now, where we're looking at a couple of other clubs around them going, oh, I'm not so sure. Right down the middle of that pitch, you're going, no. They've got Premier League experience. So for that alone, I think if Dundalk were to finish anywhere bar 10th, it's success. And I think he might just sneak a little bit above that because of the players I've mentioned. So a lot of feel-good factor around the club. Dundalk is a hotbed. Dundalk is like Newcastle. That's the only thing. Sometimes they eat themselves from within. The amount of podcasts, local newspapers. I live here in Pala generally, and you hear the odd thing about Rovers. You hear the odd thing here and there. It's main national media. You cannot go and get your hair cut without the hairdresser telling you something that's going on in the club in Dundalk. So that's the hard part for Kieran. He's going to manage that, and that noise gets louder and louder and louder the level he goes up. So that's his biggest challenge, is managing people locally. But from a signings point of view, from what the club are doing, I heard someone say it hasn't had a lick of paint in a long time. A funny story about Dundalk is the goal behind the town end was white, and over Stephen's tenure there was so many brilliant goals into that, European goals, all this stuff. It used to drive me mad because that wall was an off white, dirty, needed to be painted. And in lockdown, I painted the whole wall myself black to keep myself busy. And I made the goal then stand out when we were training in it. And so it has had a lick of paint over the years. And there's been a lot of people just about keeping paint and different things on the place around there. Our kit man, Noel Walsh, back in the day, painted all the YDT fences, all of that stuff. We tried to keep it clean and tidy, but it's great to see the local people getting behind the club and the new owners spending some money on the ground. And I know with our clubs, we'll knock Dundalk, it's like the facilities, et cetera, et cetera. But I think outside of one or two clubs, people in glass houses shouldn't really throw stones. So it's brilliant what they're trying to do at the moment.
Yeah, it sure is. It's interesting what Vinnie says about the spine of the squad, Garrett, because, you know, you look at the experience they brought in with the likes of Buckley and Cornwall, Burns as well, coming in from Galway United, and Cairns from Shelburne. Like, I'm looking at their midfielders as well. A. Dervin, I think he's a really good midfielder, perhaps maybe underrated. He gives you that bit of bite, bit of steel in midfield. And then you've got a lovely footballer like Harry Groom as well, who I remember seeing him playing for Bray Wanderers a couple of years ago, really caught the eye. He was very good actually in that playoff, relegation playoff the season before last against Drogheda United. I'm very excited to see how he gets on this season. Like, a lot of people talking about, will Dundalk stay up? Could they actually climb up the table a bit even and be maybe a surprise package for this season, challenge for those European spots?
Short, no. But I'll tell you why. From where they were, and Davran was the first kind of player to come in whenever Kilduff went, you know what, I'm going to build a decent squad here to give me a chance. When he first took the role, there was no chance of them doing anything and when they came to the Premier Division. He has given himself a huge chance now. They're starting 11 is strong and will compete with most of the teams, maybe not the top three. But if they were to get three or four bad injuries or injuries, that's where it's going to let them down. Listen, the new pitch will give them a boost. I mean, as Vinnie said, they'll be well supported. They'll be up for home games. They'll be really difficult to beat at home. But traveling away from home with a few injuries, they're going to find it really difficult. But they'll make a fist of it. I mean, Kieran Kilduff, we've watched him now for a little bit managing. You know what you're going to get from his teams. They're going to be energetic, they're going to be competitive, and they're going to be organised. So he's given himself a real chance, but I say a chance, it's a slim chance for Dundalk this season for me.
Vinnie, we got a little taster of father versus son the season before last when Dundalk played against St. Pat's, of course, young Owen Kenny playing against his dad's team. Like, he scored 10 goals in the first division last season in 34 appearances. Really impressive stuff from a young kid. He's been in the under 21 setup. How good is he?
He's the potential to be very good. I don't think we need to say much more or put much more pressure on him. Just the potential to be really good. He looked a little bit like a street footballer for me. He's got areas of improvement, which you'd expect of someone so young. Loves the game, always loved the game. Myself and Stephen often had meetings for an hour and a half after a game, and Owen be still out on the pitch till 11:30, 12 o'clock. He'd come in with that black, almost like that soot off his face, you know. He was like, what's that film? Please, sir, can I have some more? You know, he used to come
Twist.
In. Yeah, like looked like he was off Oliver Twist. But I think he's got huge potential. Wherever that takes him, we don't know. He's got a little bit of joy with Northern Ireland internationally as well. It'll be interesting to see how that goes under age level. So, this is probably what he needs, to step up and go and challenge him at the next level. But the chances he got in the first division, he certainly won't get in the Premier Division. So, it'll be interesting to see how he does. It's a wait and see. Give him a bit of space, time to breathe. Unfortunately, his second name is Kenny, and I mean that because of the pressure and the sort of...
There's more focus on him.
Yeah, I mean that in that sense.
Do you see them playing two up front with Mullen and Kenny when they're fit, they're available?
I think maybe not. Like, I'm not sure. Like, in terms of... There's times where Dundalk are going to have to suffer this season. You're going to have to suffer at different stages, and it can't be too open, even at home. So there will be times where Killers will do that. But by and large, I'd say Owen may not, like, it's up to Owen to force other people out of his way and stay in the team. But this may be another development season for him, where he plays sort of, you know, starts maybe 10, 15, 20 odd games, come down in a lot of their games and continue to develop, which is fine. He's young enough to, you know, to do it that way. So there's no big rush for the kid. And as I said, the only pressure he has is his family name and what is it, his father's achieved in the game. Other than that, the pressure needs to come off him a little bit.
Yeah, indeed. Derry City, lads, they are hosting Sligo Rovers in their first game. And
oh, here we go.
Four home matches to start the season, Gareth. You couldn't have asked for a better start as a Derry City supporter. Like, listen, there's no doubt about it. The money has been thrown at this squad. it's been bankrolled hugely, backed by the owner, Philip O'Doherty. And
like, Steve-O, they're all coming up to play for the shirt. They're not coming up for the money.
I'm not going to comment. I'm just saying four home games to start off with. There's got to be a target of winning all four of those matches.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the start's going to be key. I mean, just looking at the President's Cup, it's pretty clear, and even last year, it's pretty clear how Tiernan likes to play. His style of football, it's been really successful in the Irish League with Larne.
Just stop you there, Gary, because we've new fans hopefully coming along for the ride every year. So can you tell us, because I remember last season, for the first 6 months, whatever, you were kind of going, I don't know what Lynch is trying to do with this Derry City team. We were all a bit puzzled. So have you put your finger on it now at this stage? How does he want to play this team?
I'm puzzled by your comment there as well. As in, we know what Tiernan's going to do. We've no idea what he's going to do. That's the problem for the last 18 months.
Aye, but it's a style that he likes to play. I mean, he's quite defensive when he says it. He doesn't go gung-ho. He doesn't take any chances. He likes his solid foundation. Last year, it was three at the back with two sitting midfielders, not conceding many goals. He won the games by the odd goal, by Michael Duffy's genius and brilliance. Maybe a mistake from the opposition. He's got way more attacking players now this year to go and be a little bit more expansive, but it's finding that balance. But you've seen in the President's Cup, I mean, it's power, it's running, it's committed players and being very, very good at the back. And you see the players that he signed. He signed a lot of height as well. Slevin, the two McLeans, and Clark's a big boy. You've got big physical players there that will really keep Derry nice and competitive. And you've seen a lot of the games will be like the President's Cup. Derry won't have a lot of the ball a lot of the time, but when they do have the ball, they're going to be fast, they're going to be pacey, and they're going to create chances. Sligo is a tough game. We saw last year they caused Derry problems, and throughout the last 5 or 6 years, they've caused Derry problems. But I think the recruitment, as Steve-O said, has been a lot better. A lot more League of Ireland experience, a lot more players at the right age, at the right profile, with the right hunger. And I think with those players, you add James into that with his hunger, his local knowledge, his personal vendetta about trying to get Derry City across the line in so long. I mean, there's massive, massive expectation and excitement in the Northwest at the moment.
Have you heard anything, Gareth, about McLean, any kind of statements that he's made to the squad coming in at the start of the season? He's not going to suffer fools gladly. Is he kind of being quite the disciplinarian? It's almost, because it kind of felt when on Friday when he went into that press conference, you know, decided not to speak to one of the journalists there, decided not to speak to the press unless one of the journalists there left the room, which he didn't, as is his right. It is his workplace. Sophina, maybe McLean could be undermining the head coach there, the manager, from the start.
No, I don't think so. I think they're very aligned in what has to be done with Derry City and to get them to the next stage, which is really challenge Shamrock Rovers. I think the league table is a bit deceiving. Last year, when you see the points difference at the end, Rovers were just chugging along, waiting to win the league. But no, I don't think so. James McLean is very, very open and honest. We've seen him speaking. We've seen him. He does not change. He is the same guy that came into the dressing room when I was there in Derry City. And it's the pressure of delivering that or standing up for himself. It's a privilege to him from where he's come from. And he treats it as a privilege. He does not suffer fools gladly. He does not take kind of any sort of drop in standards. He will add, of course, to the ground, but he's not going to come in and tell Tiernan what to do. I mean, the stories going around as well are nonsense. James will come in. He will be heard, no doubt about that, but it will be for the benefit of the club and the city. But no, some of the stories are crazy. I've heard them myself.
Because he made a career as a left winger, and that's what the position he would have played when you started playing with him, Gareth, all that time ago. He obviously played centre mid at Tallaght Stadium. Is that his position for the season, Gareth? And is he good enough to keep playing that role for the whole season? Has he got the football brain, shall we say?
Yeah, well, off the back of the performance at the weekend, I would say yes. I mean, James has played in a number of positions. We saw him playing right wing back for Wrexham at times throughout his career there. He's played left of a three up front in his early days recently, left back, left wing back. He's that versatile player that can play anywhere. He's obviously got Brandon Fleming, who is an exceptional player. And Derry have invested heavily in Brandon by giving him a new deal at the end of last year. I don't see him moving Brandon. Listen, there might be times where Brandon plays left back and James plays in front of him or vice versa. But it looks like centre midfield along with Winchester. And when you look at if they play three at the back, which is Tiernan's preferred formation, having Winchester and James McLean sitting in front of that, that's solid. That's what I'm talking about, the style of Derry City this season. Then you've got everyone else going forward and you've got more of an attacking threat. Too many times last year, they were relying on Michael Duffy. They won them the game and he duly did. He can't keep doing that. The standard, the timing, the levels that he got the last year, listen, of course I hope that he gets the same levels, but to do that again would be asking too much. That's where the players coming in are going to have to pick up the workload and spread the goals around there and take the responsibility. And James, I'll chip in there as well. And I think the two signings that have gone under radar is Patrick McLean as well. Defender, centre half scoring goals is something that Derry City have struggled with for the last 4 or 5 years. Patrick has done that with Sligo. He's a big presence and he needs to step up to it. So Clark's a big signing for them. I think he will be and could be. And what will happen is James will take a lot of the limelight away from these players. They allow them to play and hopefully flourish.
Vinny, I saw you nodding. I saw you shaking your head. You're doing all sorts. You're making faces. I think you're agreeing and disagreeing in parts there with Mr. McLean.
Yeah, I think the important part is that what we learned from Derry the other day is on one game doesn't paint the full season. That 4-2-3-1 shape he played was really, really impressive. McLean and Winchester sitting at the base. But what was behind Thomas, who I think with fitness and different things, I think that is a really good signing in the league. Duffy, Clark and Markey behind Thomas as a four can go and win you games of football. So there's something likable. Derry last season played Michael Inverted and different bits and pieces. And all of a sudden, I think if he sticks to that 4-2-3-1, I know Gareth's saying he prefers the back three and different things. Like, I think you've got to go and win leagues. I don't think they're giving to you. And I think you've got to go and turn results. It's like Sligo on this week. And go and say to Duffy, to Clark, to Markey, or Thomas, go and win us the game. And then whatever about keeping the door closed with two number sixes he has planted there. And that's the 4-2-3-1 shape he played. But I like the look of that. Like when you think Adam O'Reilly was on the bench, Ben Doherty, who I really like on the bench, Ollie Inker was on the bench. You've got a little bit of strength and depth there as well. I think the 4-2-3-1 best suits the players because, I mean, they've a bit of quality around the place. Probably short of one centre midfielder. And like you said, if Michael was injured, James could play in that position. And Fleming, Gareth's right, he's a hell of a good player. There's a huge amount of positivity around the recruitment. But they need to learn a little bit from last year. Like, we three of us were at a game in Dalymount and he played five different systems in the first 60 minutes. Mm. And you know, sometimes keeping it simple is the easiest way to go and win stuff. Just simple, straight down the middle. This is the way we do it. Well, this overthinking of stuff is off the charts.
It's funny you say that, Vinny. And we discussed it last year. At the beginning of the season last year, they went on a decent run when the team picked itself and they were very consistent and there was partnerships all over the place. Then the transfer window happened. He brought in a load of players, tried to integrate them. They went on a bit of a blip. And then when he got it again, very consistent towards the end of the year. They went on a really, really good run. I think that's the key to start. And having those four home games is going to be key as well. If he can get a consistent formation, players playing together. They haven't had many preseason games as well. There was a couple cancelled. They had two in Spain and they had the Billy Key Memorial Cup, but they didn't play the big boys on that. So they're short of partnerships. They're short of knowing how each other plays. So it will take time. I know you're looking at them on paper saying they should win the first four games. That's not going to be as easy when you've got so many new players.
Just quickly, and you know, my amateur view as a journalist watching the game, I watched Josh Thomas on Friday. I think you were at Tallaght Stadium, weren't you, Vinny, watching that match in the flesh. You know, the one thing Josh Thomas is good at, he's got pace. We saw him with Drogheda last season, the way Drogheda are able to counter-attack, and he's the man who either will take a ball over the top and try and beat the goalkeeper or else hold it up and link the play. So, and Liam Boyce, I suppose, is a similar type of player. He can run the channels, he can hold the ball up. So we're looking at, you know, either Boyce or Thomas, they're there to run the channels, try and hit teams on the break, score goals themselves, or else open up defences to allow who we know are proven goal scorers in the likes of James Clark, Darren Markey. So we could be seeing Derry City scoring a lot of goals from all areas, and Adam O'Reilly, who we score four goals in the latter end of last season.
Yeah, and that's the point about going win it. Go and outscore Shamrock Rovers. Go and out, you know what I mean, in terms of league games. Go and win games. Thomas is a very, very good player. And what he does is, I suppose you've summed them up excellently. The only other way of putting it to you is he occupies centre-halves. He doesn't give people a minute by and large. He closes people down. He harasses them. Always darting in behind. So it's a centre half. You're always watching over your shoulder. Where's he gone? Where's he gone? Even in possession and out of possession. And what does that allow? That allows little pockets of space in front of them for Duffy, for Markey. And that's the key. If they can keep that four playing, and I'm not sure if he plays with a back three, he can play that four as well. I think a little bit open if he does that, you know. So that's the key. That's why I like the 4-2-3-1. Get your best players into the team, pick your best players and go with them as long as they're fit, as long as you can. So I do like the look of that structure, and I think that combination, that three behind a striker, whoever it may be, is as good as there is in the league, to be fair. Like, it's very hard to say there's anybody better than that three behind a striker anywhere else in the league. We know Rovers play a slightly different way with the box midfield, more or less. So that aside, they're there. You know, the challenge for them is put Rovers under pressure and test what we were speaking about earlier on. And are they able to do that consistently? We're about to find out.
And I think the big thing that we learned from last year in the last series of games is when Derry City's out in front, which basically, I know they were going for the league, but the main aim was to finish in second or first or second. When they're out in front, they're consistently, they're very strong. So I think that will, and I know Lee Grace, and I think it was you interviewed him, Steve-O, he specifically said that. He says it's really important that Shamrock Rovers get a good start. I think they know from Derry City's start that if Derry City were to get a decent lead on them, that it wouldn't be as easily clawed back.
It'll be tough for Sligo Rovers fans watching Paddy McLean lining out against their team. He really did help turn their season coming in last season. Excuse me. Who's going to fill that void for Sligo Rovers, Vinny? It's looking a little bit bare maybe at the back, but then you look at somebody like McElroy, who's like a wardrobe, very, very capable young centre-back, and I expect to go on to great things. Like, is there too much to be asked of him, or how do you see Sligo Rovers shaping up at the back there, which will be a key area for them next season or this season?
I think when you look around, so that's probably the one area you feel that they haven't really. I know they brought in a Sua, didn't they? But that's more of a fullback. Blaney's been there. Well, Kirk, Reynolds, McElroy, as you said, I'm not sure they've got enough strength in depth there in that position. But ultimately, it's up to this is what Sligo are very good at, is unearthing a gem between now and the start of the season. Whether that's a sign from nowhere or that's one of the young players coming through. So we're going to find out. But they need they need a little bit of luck in that sort of defensive area, because it feels like they're a little bit short there. And while this is the year, ironically, this is the year we probably don't fear for Sligo in the league as much as we have in the last number of years. This is a year where I think they've got to get the back sort of four organised as quickly as possible, because they still have lots of strength and depth going the other way. It's defensively be a little bit worried. So, and it's a lot of pressure on a young player, McElroy, to lead the sort of back four the way that we're expecting to have to.
Yeah, Sua is an interesting signing, as is Kieran Harkin. Gareth, you'd know him well. It's vital. You might say that was the one thing Sligo Rovers maybe lacked last season, was just that bit of older experience in the team. Is that something you think Russell is addressing with those signings?
Yeah, McHugh and Harkin, two very good. McHugh's played at a decent level. Very, very good player. Very good. You know exactly what you're going to get. Very consistent. Harkin was excellent last year. You would have seen him up in the semi-final or the quarter-final against Bowes. He got man of the match. Harkin's a good, good player. He was just competing against a lot of good players when he was at Derry City. So they'll play a lot. A lot of the responsibility. You've got Blaney there coming in as well. It'll be basically Blaney, McElroy and Denham will be the three centre-halves that are going to have to rotate. And then Asua is a great signing, really good signing. And again, John Russell, to be fair to him, has done it again. Mikkelsen there, he's like Hakiki was 2 or 3 years ago when he left Dundalk, kind of getting in and out, wasn't given the freedom. John Russell does that. He brings these talented players to the club and just gives them the freedom to play, and then puts a decent amount of players in and around them to nurture them.
Alex Noel, another example of that, Garrett, isn't he?
Yeah.
Potentially could be very good.
Excellent. And then Troy as well, on loan from Notts County. He's a good player. He's on loan, but he's going to play. I can't see, you never know, but Keane Cavan, I don't see Keane Cavan as playing in front of him. So he's going to be an unknown for people to, the centre has won't know what they expect. There's a wee bit about him. So they've got those. Keeping hold of Will Fitzgerald was massive. Really, really important. You can't afford that late in the window to lose key players. And although Will hasn't always got the headlines, he has been consistently very good for them.
Yeah, captain of the club, and he's going to play a big role. I do think maybe they're a little bit short centre mid, Vinny, and also look, the loss of Owen Elding, massive blow as well, so close to the start of the season. But listen, you can understand why the club, as we know, they have to do so much work in the closed season and raising funds. It's a members club. €400,000 isn't something they could cock a snook at.
Yeah, I imagine that's the point about Sligo. I imagine their work is not done. I imagine there's one or two going to arrive from somewhere far and wide. And they need a little bit more strength and depth. They just don't need to be looking over the shoulder. I think they've enough about them. They've the right manager to guide them. But sometimes, if you're resting your laurels, you can get caught out, you know, put the team on a good run. So Sligo just need to be careful that they've given Russell enough firepower in the midfield and up front, as you said, at centre-half, just to be comfortable, even though we all think they will be on paper. It just feels they're a little bit tight in terms of strength and depth at the moment.
Yeah. Looking at the next game, lads, it's Waterford against Shells down at the RSC. Really interesting game as well, because, of course, John Daly is now managing Waterford. Just looking at a couple of their signings, massively important that they kept Conan Noonan there. Luke Heaney is one that kind of raised my eyebrow in a good way, I should say, Gareth. He wasn't what you would say, a nailed-down first teamer for Drogheda United last season, but I think this signing is crucial for Waterford in that he brings a little bit of bite to their midfield, and he's also great at covering the defence, whether it be a back four or a back five for Waterford under John Daly. I think this may be a player that they really needed to get in, something that they lacked last season, because we know they were a little bit porous at the back right throughout the season. So what's your thoughts on Luke Heaney coming in?
Yeah, plenty of legs, plenty of energy. I think it'd be a big loss for Drogheda as well, having just Brennan in there, but we'll come to them. But yeah, big player for Waterford. A lot of players in and out. It's going to take a long time for them to settle. We know that John Daly, even his time at Pats and Dundalk, likes to play that 4-2-2-2 formation with the two up front. So Luke Heaney fits that perfectly. just sitting in the midfield, front of the back four, being tigerish. And it's not easy to get those players. We've seen many clubs throughout the years struggle to get those players and keep a hold of them. They're in high demand. Everybody wants to play in the front four or score goals and or maybe play in fullback areas where it's a wee bit easier. Playing in that position, it's thankless. You gotta be selfless. So he's a perfect player for them. And I would imagine he's gonna be playing a lot of minutes, and he's gonna have a lot of responsibility trying to organize the midfield as well. Especially when you play that formation 4-2-2-2, it's a lot of talking to people in front of you. So he's gonna have to be very vocal as well. But John Daly's got a big task. I mean, they were beat 4-1 by Bowes in a preseason friendly as well. So he's got to get those players in their formation. He's got to get them, his team, solidified, and he's got to get them all communicating and knowing exactly what they're trying to do early on. You don't want to be cut adrift early on. Similar to Derry at the top, if they can push on it very early on, it gives you a hell of a chance.
Yeah, there's a couple of other big clubs interested in Conor Noonan. And Vinny, were you surprised when you heard the news he was signed permanently by Waterford?
Yes and no. I think I don't know enough about him personally, but I think it feels like the right club for him to continue to develop. What he didn't want to do is go on time for somebody and not play regularly. I think he'd play regularly at Waterford. I think it's a good fit for him. I think he'd score goals there. He's got the legend that is Almond beside him as well, around him, and so I think it's a perfect fit for both. So it just makes a lot of sense. Sometimes, look, I've always been in favour of if a big club comes in for you, you know, don't be afraid to seize that moment. But if you can continue and play week in, week out and do what you have to do at Waterford, I think it's a good move for him, and it doesn't overly shock me. Whoever's advised him or whether that's circumstances, I think it's a good move.
Yeah,
I think they were a bit dependent on Almond last year, but when you see now with Carty, Lonergan and Noonan as well, there's some goals there, you know, to kind of share the workload. I mean, Almond can't finish top goal scorer again. He probably can, but you can't be relying on him.
Yeah, Tommy Lonergan got 9 goals last season. Might need a couple more from him. Like Almond turns 38 in April, I think it is, this season. Like, can he keep? Could he be top scorer again this season?
Yeah, of course he can. Yeah, no problem.
He's a machine. That's what
I tell you what he is. He's hungry. Hungry for a little trophy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Wants the little golden boot. So once you've still got that fire in your belly, it wouldn't shock me.
I think the fire in the belly is always going to be there. It's just his durability. I mean, last year and the year before that, the amount of 90 minutes he played Friday, Monday was unbelievable. It was incredible. And then, of course,
he's still quick enough, Gareth, as well, isn't he? He's got pace still.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him going past who was playing centre half that night in the Brandywell and Derry. He went past the two centre halves as if they weren't there. He was sharp as a tack. It was the night they were beat 7-2. Yeah. And he literally got 2 snuffs of goals and he put one of them in, or he might have scored 2 that night. He was razor sharp.
He did, yeah.
And a cold night up in the Brandywell. But they've got Evan McLaughlin there as well from midfield. We'll get you a couple of goals as well, breaking midfield. Plenty of legs. So he will need legs around him. And I think John Daly's done that well.
It's hard to know to make a Daly, Vinny, because he won a cup with St. Pat's. You know, we know what went on at Dundalk, then goes and assists John Caulfield last season after the sad passing of Ollie Horgan. It's like, is he the manager to take Waterford up the table?
Yeah. I know the way you meant that. Like, it's not that hard to make a lot of John Daly. I think he's a very experienced football person. The knowledge he would have learned, particularly in the SBL, where, I mean, he was around that game for maybe 10, 11 years, made big moves, controversial moves, but also was involved with people like Craig Levein as a coach, played obviously a huge amount of his football heart, Dundee United, Forest, and obviously ultimately played at Rangers as well, that we all know about. Done a reasonable enough job in a difficult set circumstances at St. Pat's. The Dundalk stuff was, you know, you can't judge anybody on that. So
yeah.
I think Waterford, a really experienced person who knows the game, will know how to deal with the owners, as well, because of his background in dealing with people in the UK. I think it's a good fit. I think Dinty has a real chance. John Daly's a real chance of doing really well at Waterford this year. And what's really well for Waterford, chasing Europe, maybe not getting there, being comfortable enough mid table, because there's been a huge change there, and there always will be until the owners decide, you know what, we want a bit of European football and we'll throw a load of money at Waterford and go and chase it. Until then, you have to be happy with being a mid-table team.
Just to look at Shelburne then, Garrett, because I think for some people, these might be people who might tip Shamrock Rovers to win the league title this season, that Shells might be the closest challengers. Just to look at one area of the pitch with Shells, though, because interestingly, with Mark Coyle heading off to Coleraine, just looking at their centre-backs, they look a bit light there. Now, I don't know if Joey O'Brien is planning on going with the back four this season, two centre-halves. If he sticks with the back three, you're kind of thinking, whoa, they're really light. Still could be light with the back four. That's what I was kind of surprised with Mark Coyle going. I know he wasn't exactly a first team, always a first choice under Joey O'Brien, but he was always handy there for cover. So, I don't know. What do you make of it?
Well, I don't know, but I do know that a team that plays 175k in the last 6 or 7 months on transfer fees, they mean business. And the guy, Odran Casey, from Cloughenville, centre-half, 23-year-old, spent 7 years at Cloughenville. There was massively high hopes for him, and Shelburne have beaten everyone to his signature. So I don't think you spend 120k to not throw somebody in right away. So I think it's a big, I don't want to say a gamble. He's obviously a good player at 23 years of age, but he's still young. But I think that's going to be a mainstay in the centre half. The other players at the back, they've been there a while. They're experienced. Listen, if they get a couple of injuries, of course, they're going to be light at the back, but you're right. Losing Mark Coyle to be able to sit in there every now and again is a big loss. But they obviously have the confidence in the players that they have. And Ledwidge as well. I think Ledwidge will play a lot in there. I think he'll play a lot in the centre, left of the centre. He was very good there last year. Barrett, we know what he's like. He should have got player of the year. They won the league. So yes, they're a bit light, but I don't think it's a massive gaping hole. And I think they've recruited really well. The young guy, Rodrigo, from 40K that they spent on him, he's a perfect example of using the Jamestown analytics that we just discussed last off-season. So you're going to see those sorts of players now just filtering through the Shelburne team. And they won't be gambles. They'll be players that will make an impact, and they possibly go straight into the team and be very, very exciting for the league.
Yeah, and just to continue on their defence situation, Vinny, I suppose, keeping Vessel Spiel as well. He was really, really good once he settled into the team. And then, of course, getting Norris as well on a permanent deal. Yeah. We know how good he is. So, like, would you share my kind of slight doubts about them at the back, or do you think they're okay there?
No, I think at the back are really, really strong. I think Steele is probably the best keeper in the league. Wasn't there long enough to win goalkeeper of the year. But I think over the course of the season, I think if he plays to his potential, Chelsea will be hard to beat because of that. I think when you look at Barrett, Ledwich, Gannon, and Beng, and Norris, two exceptional wingbacks, if that's the way they play. And then they've got, like, obviously, the lad Casey, I know they've beaten off at least two other Premier Division clubs for his signature. I won't mention names, but I know two other clubs definitely scouted him. So they're still strong as ever. Caffrey, Lunny, all of that stuff in midfield. I think it's a big season for Henry Francis. We all think the world of him. And this is his time now in full pre-season, all of that stuff.
I'm really excited to see him playing, yeah. Because I think we were together for one of their European games. He came off the bench.
He was excellent.
And it took him maybe 5 minutes to get into the game. But once he did, my goodness, the passing was brilliant. And I'm so excited to see him playing as a regular starter in a full season, because I think this fella could do serious damage for Shells.
Yeah, so I think they're set up to play with a back three. I'm not sure about whether it's a two up front or it's two behind, like a Coop and a Harry Wood in behind the striker. And then you've got and then obviously McEnroy is arguably the best midfielder in the league last year. So they're possible points that they've got. that whoever plays beside him is what it is, whether it's Henry Francis. The biggest challenge is, have they got enough goals to go and win the league? Mm. Have they got enough goals to go and win the league? That's the biggest chance. Boydie been injured a lot. We know that. Daniel Kelly will chip in. But ultimately, Odubeko, has he got enough goals in him? I think he's a streaky type of a fella. It wouldn't shock me if he went and scored, like, say, 6-7 goals in the first sort of 10 games. But they need to score enough goals. And that's the one. I'm not sure if they've ticked all the boxes yet. So it looks like if I was playing Shells this week, I would have got my hands on some of their sort of season games, don't get me wrong. But on paper and what I could see from the squad, I'm looking going back three, two wing backs, Norrison and Bang, most likely sort of four in midfield, Wood. And so it's exciting. And then I go, ooh, who's going to score them the goals? Yeah. So Wood and Coote would have to be, you know, chipping in 10, 11 for them to go on and overtake Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah. And I think very similar, Steve, with Fitzgerald at Sligo, keeping Meepo and Wood. I know there's a bit of interest there at the end of the window. Had one of those left, there would have been a bit of a hole, but keeping hold of them was massive.
Yeah. And I think, look, the Jamestown analytics, we're going to get a real taste of if that works or not, because it's worked successfully at other clubs, and they've plucked Freitas out, who I would say that no other League of Ireland club is looking at. He got, 5 league goals in 13 appearances in Liga 3 in Portugal last season. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. I'm sure nobody knows anything about him, so let's see how he does. Just finally on it.
Don't like Garrett Sly Digg, by the way, about Shell spending money. Like, they've won nearly 4.5 million. And they've gone and spent 100 grand.
They're the Chelsea of League of Ireland.
Yeah,
They only won 4 million last year.
I'd say their payroll and bonus is probably put into the shade by what is going on up at Derry City. I'm joking.
Relax, Steve. No, come on. That's all rumours.
Listen, the last thing I'd say, but Joey O'Brien, listen, lads, when he took over from Duff last season, like, it was brilliant. This guy had never managed a senior club himself on his own, and he did absolutely brilliantly. He was probably a little bit disappointed that they didn't get that European win, but some of their European performances were excellent. And he could actually be the key factor in Shells winning the title this season ahead of Shamrock Rovers, would you agree?
Yeah, I can't wait. Honestly, there's so many teams that you cannot wait to see playing, and we want more of Joey's Shelburne team, because it was different to Damien Duff's. Obviously, Damien had so much success with them, but Joey put his own stamp on it, and it was really exciting to see. They were scoring goals. They were very, very, just, they played through the lines. It wasn't bad to watch or slow or methodical. It was actually exciting. So we can't wait to see more of that. But Joey will be, he will have learned a whole lot from not only the European stuff from last year, but also from the league campaign. And he'll have a much better idea of how they're going to attack this year and essentially try and push Rovers all the way.
Well, listen, if we thought Joey O'Brien was impressive last season, Kevin Doherty was certainly impressive last season as well. Drogheda United, perhaps, what would you say, maybe proving some of the critics wrong last year, because I think a lot of people, as ever, thought Drogheda United would struggle. Now, they didn't get that European place that many people thought they might get. They certainly threatened. What are we thinking this year with Drogheda United, Vinny? Like, they've lost a couple of really important players, Josh Thomas, Luke Keeney. But importantly, I think, is they've kept most of their back line intact. And that's really the key to Drogheda United's success.
Yeah, I think that's hugely important. I think Lam and Kane probably go a little bit under the radar, the two wing backs with them, give them that huge running power with the three centre halves, you know, as you said, Edie Bulger and Andrew Quinn do really, really well for them. I think we'll have a very similar season to last year. I think they'll push European spots, may just fall short because of other budgets and et cetera. I don't think they're anywhere near the relegation zone this year. I thought they'd done well maybe 2 years ago to not be involved with that. And the benefits of multi-club ownership has sort of helped someone like Drogheda. They've been able to bring one or two in from the UK. through contacts and different bits and pieces, and they've been managed brilliantly by Kevin. They play to their strengths. It's at times it's not for everyone, but he doesn't care. That's for sure. And I think the other thing is the signing of Doyle is very much a draw to the type sign, and it just suits them. He has that look about them.
Why is that, Finny, to like, as again, like, he's been away for a while. So if anybody hasn't seen Mark Doyle, and he's been quite successful since he's been away, what are we to expect from him this year?
I think he's a scrapper, first and foremost. I think he suits like that pitch. He never give you a minute. He'll come up with big moments. There'll be times as a fullback, if you go, and I have this lad, I have him sorted, I have him boxed off. He's not causing me any problems, and then Mark will go and do something brilliant and pull one out for them. But I also think, as a person, I think he will suit that squad. There's a bit of fight about him. There's a little bit of togetherness, a little bit of us against the world. I think Kevin would like us to be really critical here of them, because I think he would use that and play on that. This time we won't be. This time is where we have to be. But for now, I think he suits everything that they're good about, and he can play in a couple of different positions. He can play centrally, he can play wide if he needs to be. And if they go to some of the bigger grounds, so-called bigger teams, if they need to play on the back foot with a counter-attack, he can do that very well as well. So I think that's a really important signing, getting him in the door. As you said, the back five are still intact. So there's a lot to like him. It'll be interesting to see how Kamna does for them at different stages. If you think about it, he's more or less a direct replacement for Markey. So he ticked all the boxes. It looked like they're going to be really comfortable again this year, and fair play to them. And
you mentioned bringing Kavanagh in, but they've lost Heaney and Markey from that area of the pitch. Like, Ryan Brennan, absolutely superb player, a stalwart there for them. He's 34 now, so... Like, is there a concern? Is that kind of central midfield area? Are they going to be okay there, do you think, for the season?
I think that's the one concern I would have, central midfield. But we don't know what they've done. We don't know what's coming through. We don't know, will they do a little bit of a loan business? But you would be a little bit concerned centrally. Like, Cabinet at times is excellent. I know that he's that streaky type player where at times, he even started last season for Pats, if you remember, he's very, very good, wasn't he? At different stages, and then comes off the boil a little bit. So they have got Shane Farrell there, who is a 7.5 out of 10 every week, no matter what. So they're not too bad. Probably feel they need one more in there. That would be, if you ask Kevin what we needed one more player, what would it be? Other than Kevin De Bruyne, he'd probably want a central midfielder that can dig in and be another one of those. Because if you think about what they do is, they let a couple of lads, whether it's the wing-backs, get forward, but they're very solid down the middle of that pitch, and it probably feels they could do it one more in there.
Yeah, I think Dele Alli could probably do a role in there. Gareth,
he's gone to Derry for the money.
there we are.
Just looking at the forwards, we saw how good Warren Davis was for them last season, but it really was in the first half of the season. He got the under-21 call-up. His form maybe tailed off in the second half of the season. So are you kind of looking for a bit more consistency from him? Like, their forwards are impressive, but in kind of spells last season, none of them showed any kind of real consistency. Derek Karim, Thomas Alua, maybe you'd see getting sprung from the bench. So is that something you think Kevin Doherty will address this year?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of Karim. What we did see last year was really good and really positive. As Kevin said, he's a Drogheda type player, really physical, pacey, knows where the goal is, very, very direct. Warren Davis is a perfect example. Kind of like Brandon Kavanagh, this is the stage of their career now. They're probably going to be given an opportunity to play every week in, week out. They need to start reproducing the types of streaky seasons they've had. If they can produce that over a full season, and Kevin Doherty, we know he'll give them the responsibility to go and do that. But Doyle's a big one, 47 goals in 132 games. That's some good numbers. I think Warren Davis will complement Doyle very well, because Doyle will, as Vinny said, be that orthodox player, and Davis can pick up the pieces in and around that, where Markey used to be dangerous and often just. So they've loads of options and different options as well. They've no players that are the same. So I think that's what will kind of excite Kevin about this season.
They're away to go, United. First match of the season. I don't know what to say about Galway, Vinny. There seems to be a lot of pessimism amongst Galway United supporters that they're going to be battling relegation this season. To be fair to John Caulfield, he's always surprised us with some signings, you know, players that nobody's heard of. And then all of a sudden, like with Moses Dyer last season, there seems to be a real Canadian flavour there. They've brought Chris Twardock in, who would know the league, of course, having played for Bohemians. And he's got a couple of compatriots there as well. Nicolas Fleuriot-Chateau. Could he be the new Moses Dyer and Facinieri, I should say, the defender? So I'm not too sure. What's your feeling of Galway United this season? They've, of course, as well, I should mention, losing Burns, losing Hickey, losing Asua. That's a lot of experience gone out of the team as well.
Yeah, it's so hard to know. You touched on Garini there, Williams. Kazim has come back to them, hasn't he? So Brood are still there. Defensively look a little bit short, you would say. Now there's a couple of midfielders that can play defensively for them. So we're not 100% sure, Steve-O. It's so hard to know. Twardock sort of suits Galway. What's he, about 6'1", isn't he? 6'2". Flying winger at different stages. But and Francie Lovato has gone to them as well, isn't he? So they've brought in a lot of strength and depth. I probably fear for them a little bit. They're the one team that you would say, generally, it's always been the team that's been promoted. You fear for most. I probably fear for Galway the most this season. Now, that's underestimating someone like John Caulfield. You do that, you're sort of peril, because you would imagine the recruitment Galway's done over a number of years have always been really good. I know the Ollie Horgan was involved a lot of that, but John still looking at the final say. So it's a little bit wait and see. I think the first couple of weeks are hugely important for Galway. Get off to a bad start, I think it could become a little bit toxic around the place. And it's not that type of club, but I mean in terms of, you know, chasing and feeling under pressure. Get off to a good start and everything is great again, you know. So it is a wait and see with Galway, I'm afraid to say. But it's certainly worrying times.
Yeah, Gareth, they're starting off with that home game against Drogheda, then it's away to Pats, away to Shelburne, and then the Connacht Derby against Sligo Rovers. So it is certainly a tough enough start. I suppose they would have been a side maybe built on defence and being tough, being hard. They play very direct football. As I said, this striker that John Caulfield has signed, Chateau, like, they need him to kind of really hit the ground running, isn't it? And it's always hard for players maybe coming in from overseas. But then again, we see Moses Dyer last season, you know, kind of surprising a lot of people.
Yeah, how good was he? Yeah, Chateau, I think, listen, I know nothing about the guy, but I don't think the pressure will be on him. I think everybody will understand, and John Caulfield will have communicated during pre-season how they're going to play and how they're going to be hard to defeat. Having 11 players come in is difficult for any manager. They only kept Broder from the defenders last year. Burns leaving, I know he kind of went under the radar first full season in the League of Ireland last year, got a lot of assists. I know there were free kicks and corners, but you're missing that as well. So it's going to be really difficult for John Caulfield.
Well, of course, he retired.
Yeah, 100%. Massive leadership role within the team. Now, they do have enough players there. The likes of Cuhan will be massive. He adds a wee bit of flair, a wee bit of spark. McCarthy. There's enough there to work with. And as Vinny said, you never underestimate John Caulfield, but you would be worried at bringing in 11 players.
Well, talking about big numbers and players coming and going, listen to Stephen Kenny last week in his League of Ireland's launch interviews. They, of course, playing against Bohemians on Sunday at the Aviva Stadium. He said he's got 10 players who've gone out the door, Vinny, and maybe 4 or 5 that have come in so far. What's your thoughts when you look at that St. Patrick's Athletic squad?
I think what will suit Pats this year is that they're under the radar. Last year, I think the 2U's even done a tip to go and win the league.
Yes, we did, Vinny.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's tipping them to go and win the league this year. I think that's the difference. Look, who's fit, who's not fit? They seem to have a lot of injuries hanging over them as well. Really good goalkeeper, decent back line. have they done enough? I know Boyce has come in. Have they done enough to solve the fullback issues? Not sure. Nugent comes in, very similar in many ways to Jamie Lennon. So, look, I think having Zach Elvezetti back fit is obviously huge for them. Max Mata is potentially huge for them.
Ronald Palmer fit as well, hopefully.
Palmer being fit again is massive. Barry Bagley has done well at different stages. Lots of options. I think this is the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season is a bit of pressure for Stephen and the staff and the players there. I think they've got to have a good start just to take the bit of noise away that's coming their way. A lot of people question them. On paper, probably somewhere between third or fourth. But Stephen has achieved wonderful things with teams and got them into unbelievable situations. But it's also gone horribly wrong, like it does for everybody at different stages. And you have to be careful that, you know, last season was a disaster despite what people are saying or trying to manipulate the numbers around or where they came in. Pats are spending money. The manager's being backed. And they haven't got the results so far on the pitch. So it's time to get going. Feels like they're missing one or two stars of the league to get them into that top two or chasing the league title. And I don't think they've done that this year.
Well, they certainly did in bringing in Max Mata, Gareth, because, you know, Max Mata went on the record and saying he went to Pats because he wants to get more games so he can get into the New Zealand World Cup squad. Do you think he's going to show that kind of form to get into that World Cup squad?
Yeah, we've seen it. If they get the Max Mata who came to Sligo on the first time, they will have a serious player. Now, I know he's had a bit of injuries and he's come off not great form, but we know what he's capable of. He is a good, good player that knows where the net is. And with the creativity that they have in St. Pat's, the question for me will be, does he go with two up front? Because Keane, I love Keane. I can watch Keane playing football all day. We saw some of his goals last year. If you can get Keane and Mata playing up front, possibly go three at the back for some Pats this season and push people forward, I think A, they'll be a lot more solid. I think between the Nugent and Mulroney deal, I think Pats have got the better kind of deal. They needed, to me, a Nugent, that type of player. I know last year they had Lennon in there, but he just hadn't got enough support. It was basically him on his own. Forrester was doing his own thing. Bagley was doing his own thing. Palmer, when he started to begin the season, I think they need to become more solid in midfield. They were too open.
Do you, so if you were picking their midfield three, are you looking at Nugent, Bagley and Forrester?
I would be playing Lennon and Nugent beside each other.
Yeah.
And then letting the rest and letting the creative players go forward. I don't know what he's been playing in pre-season, but just by the signings, the Boyce getting rid of all the fullbacks, basically, it looks as if he wants to go three at the back. So that will get you that extra player in midfield, give you a bit more control, and it'll allow you to get Mata and Keane in the team.
Yeah. That's interesting, Gareth, because I know all last year I went on and on about Pat's fullbacks not being, that didn't help Mulroney in one sense or Zach. They've got Power who could play wing back, you're right, and Zach Elvezetti who could play wing back. They're going to have to come up with something a little bit different because they certainly haven't signed a lot of fullbacks. A player to watch there is that young lad, Laurie, that's just come in. Really, I've seen him underage at different stages. What's he now, 20, 21? Would have seen him a couple of years ago. Really excited me whenever I seen him play underage for Pats. So he has a potential bright future in midfield. And I think, look, Chris Forrester is one of the greatest players to play in the last 30 years. Where does he fit into this Pats team? Because at times he's unplayable, and other times it's a bit of a chore. So that's the challenge Stephen has, to find the right time to play the combination. So a sort of 3-4-2, whatever the 3-4-3-5-2 formation you feel like suits the players. But is that the manager's thinking? We're about to find out.
Yeah, Glory and Zingo, still just 21 years of age. He went 21. On to play for, it was Rams he left for, then Swansea City and Carolina Core. So, yeah, really excited to see how he gets on. So, St. Pat's, like, I think there certainly does seem to be, and I have a couple of mates who are St. Pat supporters, and I suppose there's just that small little bit of a discontent amongst the supporters carrying on from last season because they didn't qualify for Europe. And I think they are expecting, you know, more from this team under Stephen Kenny this season.
Well, you know how to quiet that down, Stephen, don't you?
Winning games.
Yeah.
Winning matches.
They haven't won enough games.
Yeah. I think Stephen works better as well when the expectations are quite low.
Yeah.
I think he'll be quietly confident that's the case and maybe create a few surprises. But looking at the team there, running through them, I mean, there's loads of talent there. It's a smaller squad, 21 players. When you look at the likes of Shells with 24, Derry with 23. So he'll be relying on the players a lot and hoping for very few injuries. But obviously, from what we hear is Keenan and Power are already injured. So that will be key.
And just look, the World Cup thing as well, because if Mata is selected for New Zealand and if, as you expect, Anang goes with Ghana, like that, again, that could be a huge, huge issue for Pats in the summer.
Vinny? Yeah, it's a first world problem. It is what it is. Like, I mean, can't do anything about it. I think if Mata scores goals, there's a chance he could go to the World Cup. If he doesn't score goals, he won't. So what would he prefer? Do you prefer Matt to score goals? And ultimately, so that's the price. And again, one player we didn't mention, I thought at times he was brilliant last year, was young lad Levy. So where does he fit in if he plays in that number 10 position behind two behind him? Which would be interesting. That makes the spaces in midfield for the likes of Forrester hard to get into that team. So they've got options. They've got options, absolutely. So it's whether you go into a season with saying Simon Power and Zach are my two wingbacks, because beyond them, I'm not sure they have a lot of strength and depth in the wingback position other than the two of them. So it's going to be interesting to see what way they go, because they've been searching for good fullbacks for a number of years at Patson, probably since Gerard O'Brien. Have they had, maybe there's been one or two in the meantime, but they haven't had enough quality in that position.
Could Breslin and Boyce, away from home or against the big teams, could they play in the wingbacks?
Yeah, you play one of them, do you know what I mean? Yeah. In terms of, you might play one on one side and maybe an out and out like Bomber, like Simon Power or Zach on the other side. But yeah. Absolutely, it feels like that's just on paper. But as I said, I think whether you like it or not, Stephen's sort of favourite formation is probably that 4-3-3 type of formation. Not sure he's got. So it could be Breslin, could be Boyce as his two fullbacks. That ain't fear of God and me if I'm playing against Pats, you know.
Well, they could be whoever plays in the game, be playing in front of, we're closing in on 20,000 at the Aviva Stadium, hopefully to watch their match against Bohemians this Sunday. Bohemians, the last club on the list here. I suppose, look, there's always going to be questions with Bohs under Alan Reynolds with the amount of new players that he's brought in. Can he get them to gel? Bringing in Hickey from Galway United, Todd from Derry City, Burke, former Waterford player coming back from the UK. You got Senan Mullen, obviously has experience with Dundalk. He comes in on loan from Torino. Unlike Sean Grehan, he's a season-long loan, which is probably a better situation than Diallo coming in from Derry City. So there's a lot of quality there, but there's also a lot of players to gel. And from what we hear, Hickey could be playing as a defender. So, like, again, Gareth, maybe just get your kind of general thoughts on Bohemians. Like, it does look like a quality squad, but there's still a few question marks around them as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that and Vinny was at the game when Derry beat them 4-3. I thought the six was crucial for them to get somebody in there. They've gone for Diallo. Diallo is not the type of player that I thought they were going to go for. I thought they were going to go for a Gary O'Neill, somebody with a little more steel. But they've definitely gone for more physicality in Hickey and Todd as centre halves. And I think that's something that they needed to get into the team as well. And they've gone for that. But going forward, I mean, there's as much as you want going forward there. Even the guy on loan from Hull, he's an attacking midfielder as well.
Harry Vaughan,
yeah. The amount of attacking midfielders that they have is crazy. So it's going to be another exciting year for Bohs. What can we expect? God knows. I love the goalkeeper. the centre midfield of Devoy, McDonald, Moran, McManus. McManus is back now as well. Is he going to be in that six along with Diallo? Or are we going to push Devoy further forward? I haven't been watching them in pre-season. I would love to see Devoy further forward, but they've got loads of options, loads of options.
You know, Diallo, haven't watched him a lot of times playing for Derry City, Gareth. So you've got some reservations there. Like, what does that come down to? Because I have to say, he's a player, and I've banged on about him quite a lot over the couple of years on the podcast. I really like him. I think he's a good ball winner, a good passer. What's your reservations about him?
And it comes down to the subjectiveness of the manager. I mean, Rory Higgins absolutely loved him, played his whole team through him. He then Tiernan came in, and as I said with Tiernan prefers that nitty gritty, that resilient warrior type player, and he just wasn't. You could see he just didn't favour him. But Diallo was so good for Tiernan when he got the ball. He was the only person to calm the game down, get control of the game, and service the players in front of him, because there was very few players like that at Derry to be able to give Duffy the ball, Mullen, Boyce, whoever it was up front. So that's what he'll do at Bowes. The going the other way, not a strong point, but listen, if he was good at that, he'd be playing in the Championship somewhere. So really good player, eye for goal, incredible ability with a pass, and really good calming influence in the game, and will control games if you allow him.
Vinny, at the back, how do you see Bohemian set up? It's quite interesting. I even heard there's a possibility of a pre-season game. They had Mullen and Todd playing as full backs. Like, could we see Everton at the weekend? They had four centre-backs playing across the back four. Could we see something similar with Bohemians? Is Alan Reynolds taking some influence from what we're seeing across Europe or I suppose mainly in England, going for big physical defenders at the back?
I think when you look at balls, I think I've been saying it for about 18 months that going forward, was they're as good as anybody in the league or potentially are. You think Clark is a huge loss, but outside of that, they still have like real quality there. Be interested to see how Whelan does this year. Another sort of get back on his recovery, James Taylor. I think Bowes need him to go about 10 goals plus, you know, if they've achieved Europe this year. And I want to see that. I think he's good enough to do. I just think the goals have been through injuries and moving clubs, all that stuff from midfield, really, really strong. Diallo brings everything to that midfield that they need. Gareth's right. I think Devoy can now play as an A, six stroke A. He can play two at the base, him slightly forward, allows Tierney to bomb on from that sort of number 10 position. I know they've played him in all sorts of positions. So where's the challenge? Challenge has always been at the back for Bowes, and again, the people he brought in, Hickey, Todd, Burke, sure Mullen, not sure what's the best combination. Does Moran end up having to be used as a defender again this season? We don't know if they fix that issues, but they have to fix it because they've everything from a midfield forward going for them. Just defensively, they haven't been sound enough, and that's ultimately been costing them. So it's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge for them. I think they've got to hit their ground running this year. I would imagine. I don't mean that from a pressure point of view. I think, look, you know, for Alan, he sort of got over the pressure that's gone, but they've got to start winning a few more games and at least be seen to being a European club. And I think people like yourself will talk about the money others are spending. Balls aren't shy either. They're big enough to be chasing European spots. That should be the minimum for that club this year.
Yeah, like, do you think, because they got off to, you know, a good start by beating Rovers in the Dublin Derby at the Aviva Stadium, but then just it didn't go for them at all over the next few weeks, and it wasn't until the end of the season, or sorry, the middle of the season, then getting those results at the end just to get themselves into Europe. Like, Reynolds still hasn't won over some of the fans, which he was quite honest in saying last the end of last year he didn't really care, but you know, he needs to get off to a good start, I think, in that first few weeks, does he, Vinny?
He should care. If people like you don't like you. Look, he's done a really good job. He qualified for Europe, as I said. Yes, the cup helps, but that's what it's there for. 99% of the team, if you finish fourth, you're gonna get Europe. The top four normally win the cup, so they're there on merit. He deserves credit for his staff. They deserve credit for it, and so do the people running the club deserve a bit of credit for that in terms of sticking with him and also the investment they make. I don't think it can be as inconsistent as it was last year. I think it needs to be a bit more consistency. I think he'll win those last few fans back by just being consistent. Everyone can lose a game. Everyone can have a bad run a week or two. But like the ups and downs of Bowes for the last sort of couple of years, there's no sense behind that. It needs to be a little bit more structured and steady. And I think partly, if you go back to Derry at the top of the show, stick to a way of playing. Stick to, you know, don't overcomplicate. You don't need to be inverted fullback, left, right, centre. You don't need to be. You've got enough good players in some positions. You've got better than what's around the league. Simple would be my advice if Rennie would listen, which you wouldn't listen to me anyway, so it's grand. But just keep it simple. Just keep it simple.
Yeah, I think, Giovanni, the 4-3 game was a perfect example, and Daly Mount, Derry absolutely killed him in the transitions.
Yeah.
So in the transitions, when Derry won the ball back, Bowes had players everywhere. There was no safety gap at all. That's why I think McManus and Diallo will be that. Although he'll stay within that radius in front of the back four, and he's good at putting out fires. He's not massively brilliant athletically, but he won't go too far, and he put out a lot of fires. But they have a tough start. Like, only till they play Galway at home on the 13th of March do you see a game where you turn around and go, yeah, they should be having 3 points there. Now, that's not to say they can't go and beat Derry, Sligo and Pats, but it's a tough start compared to the rest of the teams.
It sure is. Well, this has been a tough start as well, lads. We've gone well over an hour and a half there, but no, I'm joking. If you are a new listener to the LOI pod, thanks a million for listening. We do keep it a little bit tighter than that, but look, it's the start of the season. We had to look through all the clubs, and I didn't want any fans of certain clubs saying, you didn't give our boys enough attention this week. So listen, we've had a good look at them all there. Before we wrap up, just a couple of things. I do want to get some interaction going with you, the listener, over the next few weeks. So we're going to throw it out to you as well. We're going to have a little Ask the Expert section on the podcast every week. So if you've got any questions you want to put to GMAC or to Vinny over the next few weeks and throughout the season, just send us an email to theloipod@offtheball.com. So it's theloipod@offtheball.com. And we'll have a look at those emails, pick out some of the best questions, sticking to the lads every week. And I will be also trying to find some fans around the grounds. I'm doing the commentaries, and my colleague Ben Symes as well will be reporting at matches, just to get some fan interaction. We want to hear from you, the supporters, at the different grounds around the country. So if you see us heading around the stadiums with the microphone, do have a chat with us, and we put them out on the podcast throughout the season. Just to finish then, lads, let me get your quick predictions. Top three and your bottom two, starting with, listen, I'll give you two a little bit of time to think about it. I'm going to put my neck on the block. I'm going to go for top three. I'm kind of torn between Shells and Shamrock Rovers for the title. I do think Shells have a good enough squad there. I think the key factor for them, though, is Joey O'Brien. I think he's a brilliant coach, a brilliant manager, and he could be the difference for them. I want to say they'll win the title, but listen, I've learned my lesson now over the last couple of years. Like the Germans at the World Cup, do not write off Shamrock Rovers. I'm going to say Shamrock Rovers to win the title. Shelburne second. Derry City or Bowes third.
Oh, Steve, you know your heart. Your heart's going to lead you to that answer.
Hey, listen, I said Bowes third last season. He's all laughed at me. They still qualified for Europe. No, listen, I think it's got to be Derry City in third place and then Bowes or St. Pat's in fourth. And I think the bottom two this season, unfortunately, I think it's going to be Galway. I think Dundalk are going to surprise a few people, lads. I don't think they're going to be fighting relegation. I think it might be Galway United and Waterford's bottom two this season. So, Gareth, your predictions, top three and bottom two.
Top three in order or just top three?
Yeah, in order, because I want to hear your champions prediction.
Derry, Shells, Rovers, top three.
Okay, so you're going for Derry City champions, Shells in second and Rovers third. And who's your bottom two?
Bottom two would have to be Galway and Dundalk.
Galway and Dundalk. Okay. And that Galway at the bottom, is it Dundalk in the playoff?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to leave Sligo out this year because I know I got loads of stick last year.
And they're coming for you on Friday night.
Yeah, Vinny, right there.
Top three and bottom two.
Okay. So,
Are you with me at Tallaght Stadium on Friday night?
Overs win the league, Derry second, and Pat's third.
Pat's third. Ooh, interesting. So no shells in the top three for you. Okay, and who's your bottom two?
And I hope Shells win the league. bottom two are going. I just think Galway and Sligo second bottom.
Galway and Sligo. So the two Connacht sides in Vinny's bottom two. It's going to be fascinating to see. And you know something, lads? Something that we're not expecting happens guaranteed every season. Something is going to happen that nobody expects. I can't wait to see what that is.
Maybe that's Derry win the league.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. Well, listen, do join us for our first live and exclusive national radio commentary at Shamrock Rovers, the champions at home to the newly promoted Dundalk this Friday night at Tallaght Stadium. We'll have it for you live on News Talk and on the Go Loud app through Off the Ball. Looking forward to the season, lads. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. It's been a brilliant show to start it all off. And to you, the listener, thanks for listening. We'll chat to you next week.
The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.